B-Pod Studios.
You're a clubhouse full of guys. You're going to be on the field. You're going to be sliding into other players. You're going to be standing, you know, 2 feet from a catcher, 3 feet from a, closer than that, 3 feet from an umpire. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to be around each other a lot. So these guys might have that concern. The only argument they have to stand on right now, the only leg they have to stand on, is arguing on the behalf of safety, not arguing on behalf of money. Charlie Blackman just pointed out there perfectly. For anybody with the MLBPA, that's the phrase that needs to be on repeat, what Charlie Blackman just said. Because no one wants to hear about the fine. We're not naive. We're not stupid. We know the money's going to come into it.
Right.
But if your argument is more so about player safety, you would have a lot more people be on your side.
Humanize it first before you get into the aspects of money, which none of us can wrap our heads around anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get Tay real quick up here. Tay, what's going on?
What's going on, man?
Hey.
I just wanted to know, like, 2 years from now, what if Carson Wentz is giving us the same play? Not finishing seasons, he's getting his good play, but he's not getting his play to get us over the top.
Okay.
You think it's time to rebuild? Because, like, we got guys like Cam Newton. He only had an 8-year run.
Right.
That'd be like 7 years from Carson at that point. 7-8 years at that time.
No, that's the harsh reality. And Tay, thanks for the call. That's what. Yeah, in 2 years we'll talk about that. And in 2 years, if this same thing is going on, then hell yeah, you're moving on from Carson Wentz. You're talking about then a 29, 30-year-old quarterback with all the injury history. Yeah, no. It's time to move on.
And they have a possible out in the contract. In that same time frame.
Yeah, in 2 years, I believe it is. Yeah,
so that's not a mistake. That's another reason why Jalen Hurts is here.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because in 2 years, if you want to get out, you can, but you need an option.
Yeah. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting through the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. When you have a basketball question going on right now in the NBA, as is, the man we talked to in Philadelphia is Mr. Keith Pompey. Keith from Inquirer.com, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up, Keith?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Had these little nuggets dropped yesterday regarding the NBA and a possible return to play. What I saw was earliest mid-July, they would start playing some games, training camp more or less starting a couple of weeks before that. What are you making of the noise of what could be going on in the magical world of Disney?
I'm kind of excited to get back to covering games.
You've watched all the Naked and Afraid episodes, you're done, and now you're concentrating on basketball.
You know, it's funny, now I'm starting to get tired of Naked and Afraid. Now it's like I've watched so much of it now, it's to a point. I mean, let me just fast forward to the end to see if they last or not.
There you go.
So, but yeah, I'm excited about basketball coming back. And you know, and it's one of those things, I think, like the timeline, like we all kind of figured that is, you know, best case scenario, it would be July, you know, like a training camp in June, and then they get out there in July and play. Now it just seems like the question is, are they going to go regular season, like finish out the regular season game? You know, there's thought that they may play 5 to 7 games and then go straight into the playoffs, or are they just going to go straight into the playoffs? So, you know, there's a lot of questions about that, but let's face it, we kind of figured they were going to come back because the money that they're losing, and they want to get this, $900 million for the playoffs, like the TV revenue they would get for the postseason.
Right.
So they weren't trying to give that money back.
Keith Pompey joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. The sticking point for me, if I'm a player, and this came out last week and it was what raised my eyebrows, is that the NBA will not shut down if a player tests positive. Now, it might have been naive of me to think anything otherwise a few weeks ago, but when you see that as a player, is that the number one sticking point here? The fact that we shut down because some people tested positive, and now we're going to say we're going to keep going? How does that make sense?
Yeah, it's crazy. But see, at the one time, I guess the reason why they shut down initially is because they didn't know who all had it. I'm under the assumption that, and we know it, what they're going to do is they're going to test everyone, and they're going to test everyone daily. So let's just say if one of my teammates get it, and then they're going to test me to see if I have it, and if I don't, you know, I'm going to keep playing. So I think that's where it is. But also, you know, it's also a sign of the times. Like, it's, hey, we can't do this again. We can't have a total shutdown again just because we're going to lose money. And when we're talking about losing money, it's not just the league, it's the players, because it's going to affect the salary cap moving forward. And so I think they're under the belief that, you know, most of them are like, you know what, I may have to do this just to help out with my future earnings. So is it a good situation? No. But at the same time, you know, when you're thinking about future earnings, is one of those things where, you know, I may have to go back to work.
Keith, besides the health of Ben Simmons and from what Brett said on the conference call, I guess a week or so ago, saying that he believes he'll be okay, do you see any decided advantage that the Sixers could get from this break in the season and then resuming, whether it be right into playoffs or into a little bit of a regular season?
You know, and I think we talked about this before. You know, I think that it is good for the Sixers to take, you know, time off, and for, you know, Brett Brown and his coaches to huddle up and to basically see, you know, go over the things that weren't working. You know, the main thing, question that I have is, you know, let's see how we're going to incorporate Al Horford more. How are we going to create situations where there's more space? How can I take advantage of his strengths, you know, instead of having him being Dario Saric 2.0? But the longer that this break extends, to me, it's like my main question is, no matter what Horford does, no matter what you bring in Ben Simmons, no matter who your rotation is, it's all about Joel Embiid coming back in shape. I mean, he has a history of getting out of shape when they take a week off, or when he takes a week off for injuries, and always being out of shape when he reports to training camp. And now we're on 71, 72 days. You know, the biggest question mark for the Sixers is, what type of shape is Joel Embiid in? Because let's face it, he is the key for them to winning the championship. The rest of the guys are bonuses. But in my opinion, you know, it's all about Joel Embiid and what type of shape he comes in when they start playing again.
Speaking with Keith Pompey, Inquirer.com, just to backtrack real quick, you've mentioned the money with the players. You mentioned the money with the network as far as league revenue goes for a playoffs. The players just started losing money last Friday, right? That was the first time their paychecks were cut significantly?
Yeah, well, the 15th? But what I'm talking about losing money is, you know, everything is kind of like tied to the salary cap, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm talking about moving forward. We can get it. They're losing money, but I'm talking about future earnings.
Okay.
You know, for instance, because, like, you know, let's say if you're a free agent this year, this upcoming year, you know, you're not going to make what you thought you were going to make at the beginning of the season. So is in your best interest to come back and have these other guys, you guys come back and play just so you can salvage some stuff. Because if you don't play, the salary cap is going to just be, it's going to be worse than what the projection is. So that's what I'm talking about. Now, again, a lot of people aren't going to feel sorry for these guys for losing money. You know what I mean? We're talking, you know, millions of dollars that you still have left over, as opposed to, you know, the people that work, you know, around the corner from you who are trying to get unemployment.
Right, exactly.
So I get that. But, you know, I think for them, you know, for their reality, you know, it's just one of those things where it just benefits everyone if they want to come back. Now, again, you know, and then you talk about a guy like LeBron, right? I'm just using him as an example. And I know people are saying, what are you talking about? He made over hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, with him, it's one of those things where, you know, when everything is shut down, we know he has a movie production. We know that he has all these endorsements, all this other stuff. Well, if people aren't going back to work, you know, the endorsement people are saying, well, why are we giving you all this money if no one's coming and buying our product? And then how is he going to get a movie out and do all these other things? Now, again, I know the average person doesn't care about that. I wish I had that problem.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we're just talking about how all these guys are impacted, you know, by not playing.
Yeah, almost $272 million LeBron James has made just off his basketball contracts, according to Basketball Reference. Keith, we've used this phrase really throughout the season with the Sixers, and I feel like it's a fallback phrase, but maybe it applies. Maybe you believe in it. The Sixers had their best basketball in front of them before the season was canceled. Did you believe that? Do you believe that? And do you think that they actually will be a contending team if a tournament does start up?
That's a crazy question because to me, it always came, like you said, it was always something that they fell back on.
Right.
You know, they beat the Detroit Pistons at home. They had Joel Embiid. But the game before that, they lost to the worst team in the league in a blowout loss on the road. So it looked like a team that was, you know, still had a lot of question marks going down the stretch. Now, they did have an easy schedule and where you think they were going to pick up some, you know, some games, some victories in the standings. But to me, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they had to figure out a way to correct the spacing. They had to figure out a way to, like, you know, win on the road. I mean, there was a lot of unanswered questions. And I think that's why a lot of people think right now that this, you know, this shutdown in the league kind of helped them a little bit because it gave the coaching staff more time to evaluate what was going wrong. So, you know, it was one of those things when everyone was saying what they were saying and we're built for the playoffs. Well, the playoffs is a slower game. You need spacing. You need guys to make shots. You know, and if you were just going to say, okay, Ben Simmons is going to play power forward and we're going to run everything from the high post and Shake Milton, you pass the ball to Ben and you spot up at the three. Well, as long as you can think you can beat teams doing that, then they would be successful. But if Ben Simmons is going to be your point guard and you needed him to make shots, no, I don't think that the best basketball was ahead of him. And then let's face this. Like, it would be one of those things where, yeah, that tactic with Shake Milton may work the first two games, but then all of a sudden people are going to run people at him, and then you're going to have to come back and do something different. So, to me, I didn't believe their best basketball was ahead of them. I think now that they have a better chance, just because, you know, Brown has more time to evaluate and go over things, and so we'll see what happens.
So, Keith, we've questioned often this year, not you, but us, about, you know, schematically, what is Brett doing offensively and you know, why are they doing what they're doing? And the bully ball never came about. And even though maybe they shouldn't have tried to play bully ball, they're the ones that said it. So my question to you is, so with this time off, should the fans have confidence that Brett's going to figure something different out with this group that he has?
I mean, I would hope so. You know, I mean, I would hope so. I mean, I think that, you know, the easy thing is, well, how do you incorporate, you know, Al Horford? That's the easy thing, but it's simple, man. I think that a lot of the Sixers' success is going to rely on if Ben Simmons is going to open up his shot, if Joel Embiid going to be in shape, you know, and then right now you have a guy, like I said, in Shake Milton. But then you have to figure out what you're going to do with these other guys on the bench. You know, so, you know, Brett, I hope that he changes for his sake. I hope that he figures out, you know, a way to make all this work. But, you know, the thing is sometimes, you know, as a coach, you get used to what you're doing. And when you start thinking all the time that, hey, you know what? I had injuries. Hey, you know what? It wasn't my, you know, this guy did this and he made these mistakes. And then you start thinking to yourself, like, what we were doing was working. So let's not change it. We're healthy now. We're going to do this. No, he has to change his approach and he has to change everything. And again, I honestly believe if Joel Embiid's in shape and if, you know, they do whatever they can, you know, and he does tinker with some things, I think the Sixers can, you know, show us that they're good enough to be the team that we thought they were in the preseason. But if they don't make any changes and if Joel's not in shape, it's just going to be a lot of people sitting around and being disappointed again, you know?
Absolutely. Speaking with Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, Keith, what are the odds Brett Brown's actually returning after this, and how much will even a decent tournament impact his status for next NBA season?
Now, that's a tough call because, you know, initially I thought he wasn't going to be here at all, you know, initially, like, you know,
right.
before they had the thing. I think it could impact him, and also not just because from a coaching, not just from, like, if his team does well, But also, you got to factor in how much money the Sixers are losing. And does that factor in? You know what I mean? Like, honestly.
Because you'd still have to pay him and pay another coach also. Is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry for being that way. But, yeah, how much does that factor in? Like, because the next coach you get, let's face it, you're not trying to bring in a startup coach. Like, a guy like, hey, you want your first coaching job?
Yeah, right.
No, you're going to try to go out there and get, like, an elite-level coach. And these guys want to get paid, and they want to get paid more than Brett Brown's making, that $5 million a year.
Wow.
So it's one of those things, like, what are you going to do? But let's not kid ourselves. If he has a disastrous playoff or when they come back, nah, he's gone. He's gone.
The money factor is going to be interesting if he does stick around simply because of a logistical financial situation, I guess. Like the perfect storm to keep Brett Brown would be, well, we don't have the same revenue and we don't want to pay two coaches. Good God.
Yeah, that'll go over well.
Yeah, I understand that theory, and I hear what you're saying. Keith, always great catching up with you. If not Naked and Afraid, what's the next show?
I think I'm going to watch, since I take Jordan's thing, I think I'm going to watch it over again.
There you go.
you were that enthralled by it.
I mean, you know what, man? We didn't have anything else on.
Oh, I'm with you.
So I looked at it. So now it's like, you know, I might look at it again just so I can, if there's something I felt like I missed. I don't know, dude. It's just, it's, you know, I can't say it too loud because my wife is going to get mad, but I'm bored in the house. I just need something to entertain. You know what I mean?
I know. I couldn't hear you. You broke up for a second. Yeah. Say it louder, Keith. What'd you say? No.
You know my language.
You're the man. Keith, let me ask you this real quick on that subject, because I've heard some people say, oh, what did we really learn? Like, even if you knew every story, you didn't hear the story from the people who created the story, from the guys that lived it. Is there one thing in particular that really jumped out to you that raised your eyebrows?
How similar Kobe is to Jordan.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, like, you know, you heard stories about Kobe terrorizing his teammates.
Yeah.
And guys not really liking him, right?
Sure, in that regard, yeah.
Yeah, in that regard. And so that's what I'm talking about, like, off the court. It's kind of like he gave Kobe a manual to being great, you know? And then here's something else. It's like the best part about these series were afterwards, the day after, you know, his former teammates will go on like a radio station or go on TV, and they were very critical of Jordan. Like, a lot of them, like, how did he called Horace Grant a snitch? Well, he's a snitch talking about the things the guys did before when Jordan was a rookie.
Traveling, you know, cocaine circus.
It's funny because, you know, you realize, like, I don't know if these guys really like Mike, you know, but then the one thing is, you know, you appreciate it because he said, I've never had them do anything that I didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. And he did win six titles. So he might have been an idiot, an a-hole. But this morning I was like online just scrolling and I saw four of his houses. You know what I mean? And they're all beautiful mansions. So he did something right.
Yeah, I hear you. Just last thing, Keith, the plan for the NBA, you think we just, if all goes right, coronavirus, assuming we do all right, mid to late July, we'll get some games?
I believe so, yeah. Mid to late July, I believe so.
Good enough for me.
I think if it's mid to late July, I think we'll probably have some regular season games.
Yeah.
Right? And I think if it goes to August, if we have to wait until August, I think that they'll go, you know, straight to the playoffs. That's just my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, say hi to that lovely wife for us, because she's an angel. And, you know, we hope to talk to you again soon, my friend.
All right. I just hope she's not listening.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, Keith.
Keith Pompey. Keith Pompey, Inquirer.com. Keith will play.
He's probably.
I don't want my wife to hear me, but I'm bored.
Well, how does she feel?
We'll send her the podcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
she might be equally as
bored. Like, this guy's watching this Michael Jordan thing twice.
I've spent 20 hours of my life watching Jordan.
He's bored with Naked and Afraid. Literally the greatest show title of anything ever. And he wants to watch something called The Last Dance? What the hell's wrong with him?
By the way, finally catching up on Better Call Saul this season.
Oh, okay.
Oh, baby. That's a show for you.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Like, my wife and I, we didn't really talk about, like, we didn't really watch much TV together because I was working on a weird schedule and she had a regular 9-to-5. You know, things have changed in the last couple of years. We're watching a lot more TV, especially the last 2 months. I got to tell you, her TV taste, meh.
Really?
Unimpressed.
Yeah.
And something else I noticed about my wife that I don't like. I'll tell you this right now.
Oh.
Oh, wow. You're going deep.
She's
huh?
a multiple texter.
What do you mean?
When you text me, I text you back with my reaction in a text message.
Mm-hmm.
I don't send several reactions through several different text messages.
I don't get all my thoughts out at once sometimes.
That's what that little return button's for.
Yeah, I know. But
then I look at my phone, I got 84 text messages on a group text, and it's mostly her being like, oh, my God.
That's
one text message. It's not three text messages.
I'm one of those people.
Are you really?
Animals.
Barbarians,
all
not like a. It's not like a conscious effort to do that. I start spouting off and I get all hopped up on sugar and I don't know.
Do you have more like ADD tendencies than I do?
Well, I have ADD, so yeah.
Okay, maybe you do. Maybe you do. Have you been tested? Have you done the testing?
Yeah, when I was younger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was on Ritalin when I was younger and Adderall, and then I just stopped.
My parents just gave me espresso. Like, that wasn't the best thing for me. No, I'm just kidding. Like, no, that's one thing I never did that I should do, is do the ADD test.
I mean, I'm kind of under
through it.
I'm kind of under the assumption that, like, almost everybody has ADD to a degree.
It's but that's the thing, though. Like,
how far along are you on that scale, I guess?
Like, some people are like, oh, it's my anxiety. And that's legit with some people. Other people, it's an excuse. Mm-hmm. And that's the, like, the,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, it's like the what do you call it? The,
it's hard to quantify all these things.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I don't want to come off as a jerk, but
there are
people that, that exaggerate.
Yeah, like my one buddy has crippling anxiety to the point I've been there where he's having meltdowns and
trying
to talk him through it, and he's hyperventilating. You know, and if I have anxiety about like going to public speak or something, they're not exactly comparable.
Right, because that's nerves. That's being nervous.
Yeah, that's nervous.
It's like more people are afraid of public speaking than they are death.
Jeez, is that right?
As Seinfeld says, that means you'd rather be in the coffin than doing the eulogy at a funeral. But like, that's something that's wild. Did we get on the subject? What am I talking about here?
I have sadness.
Your wife's bad TV shows.
Oh,
and texting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have any other grievances you'd like to air about your marriage or anything?
I know, right?
This thing.
Diving deep.
No, Bob, what'd you have? What were you going to say? You have bad news.
I got bad news. It just broke.
What's the bad news?
Aunt Becky's pleading guilty.
Yeah.
She claimed her innocence through all this, and now all of a sudden she's pleading guilty?
She got a deal.
Taking a deal?
Yeah.
Like, Aunt Becky's guilty of a crime. That hurts, man.
I'll tell you, the crime
she's
been guilty.
Spectacular.
Yeah, exactly. It's like whoever she mugged for the Fountain of Youth. Oh, my God. She's
Well, I hope it helps her in the clink.
Aunt Becky, in the clink. The clink, Bob. That's what people with wrinkles use to describe prison. 610-632-0975. When we come back, there's two things that we can examine with a return to sports. At the start of the pandemic, at the start of quarantine, I got to be honest, when it came to Ben Simmons' back injury, I didn't care. Because I knew whenever it was over, he was probably going to be fine. But there's a couple of silver linings we can take about a shutdown. One for basketball, one for hockey. Actually, possibly two for hockey. We'll get into. And also, coming up in the next segment, in case you missed it earlier, there was a wild story that Antoine Walker told on Boston radio the other day about Michael Jordan working out with a 16-year-old basketball player when he was coming back the second time, when he was coming back with the Wizards. And who that 16-year-old turned out to
also,
be.
Also, a little streaming event tonight I want to run by you guys, if you would tune in or not.
Okay.
I think Bob would, maybe Mark wouldn't.
All right.
That's my guess. All
right. In case you lost count because of your own ADD, that was 17 teasers before one commercial.
Hey, we only got 2 seconds left.
Yeah, exactly. We got to get it as soon as possible. Time of the Fanatic, 9:23.
Serenity now! Fanatic Sports Update. NBA moves forward. I'm Sam Wilson, and this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by ExpressPros.com. Need to manage a changing workforce? It's time to get to know Express Employment Professionals. Find a location near you at ExpressPros.com. Adrian Wojnarowski reported yesterday that the NBA is expected to start allowing players who left their team markets at the beginning of the pandemic to return to the team around June 1st. The specific set of guidelines on how players are expected to return has not yet been announced. Part of the league's migration back requires a two-week recall period to allow players to return and have time to quarantine before going into facilities, followed by 1 or 2 weeks of individual workouts before having a 2 to 3 week formal team training camp until the season can get underway. With this potential format, games are expected to begin by the end of July. This update is also brought to you by Family Jewelers. Family and Company Jewelers is now open for curbside pickup, consultation, sales, and consignments. Stay safe, but don't make love wait. Family and Company Jewelers, Route 70 in Marlton, South Jersey's diamond destination. For more news on the current sports shutdown, keep it locked in right here to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Sam Wilson on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Barzetta in the Morning with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Loyalty. It's all about being there. Day in, day out. Day in, day out. So to say thanks for being there, AAA rewards loyalty. Like how you get savings on AAA auto insurance just for being a AAA member. And when you switch to AAA auto insurance, you could save more based on how long you've been a AAA member and how long you've had your current insurance. If you have both AAA auto and AAA home insurance, you could get even more savings just for being loyal. But your loyalty gets you more than savings. It gets you comprehensive help. Because when your AAA expert agent knows you better, they can help you better. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to a AAA insurance agent at your local AAA store today or visit AAA.com/insurance to learn more about AAA auto insurance and loyalty rewards.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
Oh, hi. Okay, guess we should talk about something. Kind of tough to be put on the spot. Not sure what to say. But I know what I'm definitely not talking about. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big!
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
To those who love the grind, run with us on a John Deere Gator UV. Because your daily routine may change, but the land stays the same. There's still work to be done, a herd to keep in line, and ground to cover. Being linked to the land means the work never stops. So keep going on a Gator UV, featuring a hefty payload capacity, smooth riding suspension, and the power to forge ahead. Nothing runs like a deer. Search John Deere Gator for more.
America is a great big country,
filled with all kinds of different people.
And we all count.
That's why the 2020 Census
wants to make sure we're all counted.
Why is it so important?
Because the census helps inform how hundreds of billions of dollars will be spent each year for things like
new roads,
health clinics,
even more school programs.
So make sure you're counted.
Because you count. Shape your future. Start here. Complete the census at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
What if we're still working from home when summer hits?
I'll just work in my Speedo.
No, you won't. Should we get our air conditioner checked?
Good question.
Can we get it checked?
That's a better question.
As an essential business, Pierce, Phelps, and Bryant will do whatever it takes, including safety masks, gloves, and social distancing, to keep you comfortable this summer, like flexible financing and indoor air quality specials. To find a Pierce, Phelps, Bryant dealer near you, visit nopaybryant.com. Bryant, whatever it takes.
Got a bucket list? Okay. Now imagine if you won the $298 million Mega Millions jackpot. Taking a mega chance could mean making your wildest dreams a reality. After all, anything can happen in Jersey.
I'm attorney Matt Morgan with an important message. If you wait too long after your injury to call us, you may have no case, and that's money gone forever. Our team is fully enabled with video conferencing and a digital sign-up process to represent you from the comfort of your home, wherever you are, whenever you need. During these difficult times, we are working overtime to make sure that we're there for you. There's only one Morgan & Morgan for the people.
Injured? Dial pound law on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Offices Philadelphia. You know Beasley Media for the massive radio brands in Philadelphia, like 97.5 The Fanatic. But did you also know that we're experts in advertising and growing successful brands through digital? We can help create video commercials, put your ads on websites, and even create targeted social posts to reach your potential customers. Our team of brand builders can do that and so much more to help your business grow. Email Beasley Media Digital Team now at experts@bbgi.com. That's experts@bbgi.com.
Barzetta in the Morning, now.
On 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, I'm going to title this segment, The Land of the Tees, to make sure that we check off every box that we teased before the break. Now, Bob, you did not have a tease, correct? You gave it out that
I did not. I said Ann Pecky's pled guilty and my heart's broken.
She got a deal.
She's a criminal now. Actually, maybe it's kind of hot. She's a criminal now.
Community service is what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
All right.
But there is an element of hotness increasing you guys doing jail time.
Yeah, she comes out with like a teardrop tattoo.
An ice cream cone tattooed on her cheek. Spider web on the elbow. What's up, Aunt Becky?
Aunt Badass, more like it. That Jesse Katsopoulos, man.
He knew what was up.
No, yeah, Jesse and the Rippers, man. They went there. They played for Johnny Cash. Folsom Prison. Nonetheless, that's a stretch. Sorry. Anyway, the land of the tees. NBA positive with the shutdown. Two of them, actually. Possibly two NHL positives. So that's four good things to talk about regarding sports and the return and what it could mean. Then I mentioned an Antoine Walker story and Michael Jordan. That's another one. And then Jamie has a tease right there. We're gonna hit it all in the next 10 minutes, folks. Get ready for the fastest 10 minutes in radio. Here you go. First and foremost, the positive are two things that we got into earlier today. And that was Ben Simmons coming back and probably being okay from the back injury. We were told a couple of weeks ago the nerve impingement's all but gone. It's just a matter of actually seeing him play, right? That's what the Sixers need to do. They've seen the workouts virtually, but seeing him, if they say on the grass, if you're Doug Peterson, on the hardwood, actually seeing him live and in person, going against other players, see how he gets through that whole process. So you would assume that this would be a nice step forward for Ben Simmons. We could all
agree. It's a hold your breath step forward for the Sixers.
Sure. Hopefully not for as long as you would anticipate.
Till the rest of the season.
Oh, really?
With a back?
Damn it, Bob. I was going to be optimistic here.
No, you can be optimistic.
No, I can't, apparently.
Sure you can. I'm not saying he's going to get hurt. I'm just saying that it's going to be in the back. Backs are weird. They didn't do surgery, nothing like that. So, yeah. Elton sounded like he's going to be back. Brett sounded like he's going to be back. So, yeah, there's your positive. You're right.
All right. The other positive, potentially even more positive because you have more reason to believe it, is can we agree Matisse Thybulle was hitting that rookie wall?
Yes, he was.
He looked like he was pulling himself out of it a little bit, trying to. But here's what I know, and we got into this with our buddy Dan earlier in the show. It comes down to the fact that he was essentially getting a second chance at his rookie season, or he is going to get a second chance at his rookie season. So he's going to have a nice shutdown where he's doing the TikTok videos. Hopefully he's not exhausted from that. Hopefully he's not exhausted from posting embarrassing pictures of himself and Mike Scott. All right, fine. But you get a second chance. You get a reset button. You get to shut it down a little bit before you ramp it back up.
And it's rare from what I've seen. When you come back from a long layoff, your offense, no matter how good of an offensive player you are, is rusty. No matter how good defensive player you are, you're rarely rusty when you come back. So he gets his legs back, you're going to see that defense you saw at the beginning of the season, I believe.
Two things to look forward to, right?
Yes. Positive.
Hockey. Carter Hart. Talk about a younger guy playing a lot of games, not a lot of miles on him for this year. He gets a shutdown. He gets a little restart to a rookie season, a rookie campaign, if you will. Love to see rookie, inexperienced, I'll say that. Younger guy. He's getting a little revamp there. That's a good thing. The other thing is, and I don't know if this is going to be the case, but it makes me at least question the idea of Nolan Patrick. Like, imagine you get that offense going with Nolan Patrick. I don't know anything when it comes to this. All I'm saying is there might be a possibility that he actually plays. Imagine getting him back in the lineup and things happening there. I'd love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are four good things. Nolan Patrick, Carter Hart, Matisse Thybulle, Ben Simmons. Then take it a step further. Take it to the next thing we tease. So far, check four boxes right there. Four things we tease. Checked them off in this segment. Now the next thing is Antoine Walker playing with a 16-year-old and Michael Jordan. So I didn't know this, but apparently the LeBron James interview came out before the Antoine Walker interview. Bob, you had heard it, you said, on Uninterrupted. Yeah. But I didn't see that. I saw the Antoine Walker thing first. And Antoine Walker talked about how he and Michael Jordan started working out together in the early 2000s. to get Michael Jordan back in shape before he came back to play for the Washington Wizards, where he played two seasons. This was 3 years after he had won with the Bulls. So 3 years done. Comes back. He was what?
38?
Older?
39? Yeah.
Something like that.
Right around there.
37, 38 years old. Came back, actually, averaged 21 points per game in the two seasons he played. But when he was with the Wizards, was he a front office executive, or was he like a part owner of the team, and then he came back?
I think he was part owner.
Part owner, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he comes back and he plays. But much like he did during the Space Jam time off, he got some NBA players to play with him. Antoine Walker was one of them. So he's on the radio in Boston. You know, former Celtic Antoine Walker, who, for the record, I always hated, but nonetheless, it's a good story. He talks about playing with Jordan, playing with Corey Maggette. I don't know why that's the name that jumps out to me of all the names that he dropped, but Corey Maggette and other NBAers. And one thing he said was Jordan never picked another scorer to be on his team so he could work on his own scoring. Makes sense, whatever. But he also said they invited this 16-year-old kid from Akron, Ohio, to play basketball with him, who was supposed to be pretty good. That 16-year-old kid was LeBron James. Can you imagine being LeBron James, 16 years old, and you're on the court with Michael Jordan?
No.
Like, it makes me think of Kobe Bryant working on North Broad Street with, like, Mark Jackson and, like, Aaron McKee and watching those guys work out. And there he is at 12 years old. Or what, being 14, 16 years old, however old he was, when he was beating up Jerry Stackhouse at St. Joe's? Like, think about those stories. That's what it makes you think of. I never knew LeBron was playing with Jordan. Like, that's amazing. 37-year-old Michael Jordan playing with a 16-year-old LeBron James. And LeBron James did say, uninterrupted, that they treated him like a 16-year-old. They're like, yeah, you'll play later in the night, man. You just relax.
But also, so is MJ footing the bill for LeBron to go out to California there?
See, that's the thing. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think LeBron... Well, I can't say 16-year-old LeBron didn't have money. he might have. I don't know, but... Yeah. A little weird.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to Akron. I don't think they're working out in Akron. Yeah. So we can meet the 16-year-old kid. Yeah, I don't think that's happened. I don't know. Maybe they're in the same area at the same time for whatever reason, but there you go. Let's get to our friend. Oh, wait. What? We had one more.
One more tease.
Jamie, you had the tease.
Yes. You've heard of this film called Rocky before, right?
Ooh.
It deals with a fictional boxer from Philadelphia.
Is that the one usually followed by Roman numerals?
There's a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So
I've heard of it.
There's the first one is just called Rocky. He's okay. A fictional character. He's yeah. Well known around the world.
No, I understood.
The guy that played that character is a guy named Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Tonight, Bob, you're a big Rocky fan, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I might have overvalued your Rocky-dom.
No. I love okay. Rocky. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Oh my God. I still remember when I went to see it in the movies.
I just don't like when Rocky is identified with Philadelphia before the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I mean, it's a slight pet peeve.
Uh-huh.
So Sylvester Stallone is live streaming Rocky tonight on Facebook, and I assume giving commentary and kind of insight to the movie as he watches it with people. Would you have interest in watching Sylvester Stallone narrate a Rocky stream?
I feel like we got this in the 90s with, like, director's commentary on DVD.
Now, I have to tell you, like, The Sopranos, Michael Imperioli and
Bobby
Bacala.
Yeah, I want to get on that. Yeah.
They're doing a podcast as they rewatch the series together. One of my buddies is listening to it and said it's phenomenal. Really? Like, the insight they give you about the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, there was a clip yesterday of Bobby Bacala dunking.
That went
viral on Twitter.
Yeah, that got
well, he actually played college basketball and could dunk back in the day.
Oh, really?
But on the podcast, he told the story about how they put a ramp by the basket. So he ran up the ramp, jumped off, and dunked it for the filming. So, like, you get insight like that. So I would imagine Sylvester Stallone has some cool insight and stories about the filming.
Uh-huh.
I probably wouldn't tune in, but it's not because I wouldn't want to. Just kind of...
Yeah.
Anybody?
I mean, that's cool, because it's not like Rocky doesn't have a huge audience.
Yeah, it's one of the most popular movies in the world.
The only thing I would watch for is I would stream myself back to Sly... running up the steps when he does, because they're like right by my house.
But no, neither of you would tune in for that.
I'm not going to. I'd probably, but no. If you said you got to do it or whatever, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. But
no,
I
wouldn't.
Won't.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would either. And one of the reasons is also because we've heard through the years so many times Sylvester Stallone talk about how he put this together, how he wrote it, how he had to pitch it, and he did it all on his own.
There's probably some cool stories,
but there probably is. Yeah, like in this scene,
Yeah.
I will say I find a lot of comfort in whenever I see Sylvester Stallone with the fedora, the leather jacket, and the shirt, and he's like,
"Hey, Mark."
Yeah, He's throwing the punches to nobody. Like, that was just like throwing, like, keep his arms loose. Like, there's a comfort in that for me for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like watching Ken Griffey Jr. swing a baseball bat.
So, you're not watching?
No, no.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, we're 0 for 3 here.
Yeah, we're 0 for 3. Mike and Delran, I know you're excited about the Flyers. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I am, considering I'm not really a huge hockey fan. It was just cool to see an article where you looked at the top seeds, and the Flyers were one of them. I guess I didn't realize how high in the seeding they were when the season stopped. I mean, I guess I'd have to ask, like, hardcore Flyers fans, I mean, what is that? Well, how does that feel, the chances of them being able to make a run in this weird playoff setup? I mean, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of details to still have to be worked out, but I would assume you'd have to like their chances, no?
Oh, absolutely. And here's the number one reason I like their chances. Carter Hart.
Yeah.
They have a goalie. They have a goaltender. The home and away records for that he's had, I know we've talked about it a lot during the season. They're something that's somewhat concerning. However, when you have a goaltender like that, you know he can get hot, and he can certainly get hot.
Yeah, I'm just so excited to be able to watch the sport again. It'll be nice to have one where I kind of feel confident in the team, unlike some other squads like the Sixers. I don't feel confident.
Yeah.
Something tells me LeBron James wasn't worried about money when he was 16. I don't know if you guys remember him driving around in a brand new Cadillac Escalade senior year.
Yeah, his mom took out a loan.
Yeah.
I bet she did. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there were some kickbacks on the side, but
yeah, no doubt.
On paper, you got to have something to you know, live that lifestyle.
Yeah, I guess. Do you have to when you're not in college? I mean, does it matter?
I don't think it does matter, to be honest with you, because remember Monet Davis got like a truck deal?
Did
a commercial.
Did she really?
She did a commercial for like Ford or something like that.
Oh, really? I don't remember
Chevy,
that.
Maybe, yeah.
An agent could have gave him whatever he wanted when he was a junior in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, I'm 39. I'm driving around a Jeep Patriot, you know? Yeah, that's funny. And I was going to say real quick, and Mark, when we had that dinner earlier this year, I talked to you about it. I don't do this often, but I just want to give a shout-out to a buddy of mine, Mark Barrett. 4 years ago, he passed away, and he was the biggest sports fan I know. He'd be so pumped about the Flyers situation. He was a true 4-for-4. It wasn't like one sport was more important than the other. That kid was diehard 365 days a year. We love and miss you, bro. Go Birds!
Go Birds. And Mike, I know you're still listening to the show, and per our conversation that night, he's still listening as well. 610-632-0975, and you heard every syllable of that. And by the way, you know, while we're on a note of this, I do want to talk about our health heroes that we always like to highlight here on 97.5 The Fanatic. During the global pandemic, there are those that are on the front lines who help keep our community safe. They're the doctors, they're the nurses, educators, so many more people as well. They are the health heroes. And the health heroes are people that we like to highlight. And if there's a health hero you would like us to highlight, go to 975thefanatic.com right now to nominate someone special to you. Today's health hero is Alexandra Robertson. Alexandra Robertson, congratulations. You are a health hero even while being a new mom. How about that?
Wow.
Alexandra
congrats.
Goes to work as a full-time nurse. Each day this week, the health hero we nominate will receive a $50 gift card to Dietz & Watson Premium Meats and Artisan Cheeses and your local ShopRite market. For pickup, order online at ShopRite.com. That's shop.shoprite.com. Our health hero program is made possible by our great friends at Pierce Phelps, Bryant Heating, the air conditioning dealers, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your family comfortable at home. Go to NoPayBryant.com to find an expert Bryant dealer in your area. And you can help right now. Make sure your air conditioning system is working properly with Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers. We're all in this together at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.